Well, my first pastorate was as an English-speaking pastor at a little Chinese church in Portland. And I was really excited about it. And one of the first things I was told that first week was that I had a giving number. And it was like, let's say number 62. And I thought, well, that's interesting. What's that? He said, well, that way you can go downstairs and you find your number and then it says how much you've given for the month or the year. And that way you'll know if your check's cashed or if you've forgotten to give or something. I thought, well, that's a little different. Well, I went downstairs and sure enough, there was a list. And I noticed, wow, number 38 was a high dollar amount every month. Number 17 never had anything listed. And I thought, what a cheapskate. But it was interesting. Everybody had their number and you could have gone and tried to figure out, oh, the rich guy, you know, there's a young doctor. Maybe that was him or the, you never knew, but I'd never heard of this before. And I wasn't sure if this was a Chinese church thing, if it was a Free Methodist denomination thing, or if this was a Chinese Free Methodist Church of Portland kind of thing. I never did learn whose number was what. I just knew my number. Well, here at Trail Creek, I'm not in the know of what you give either. Unless you hand it to me in cash, then I count it, write it in an envelope, and give it to Mike. You know, sometime a person will call me and say, hey, is my check cashed? I have no idea. I don't handle that. Now, Mike Evenson's our treasurer, and there's a couple guys that do collect the money and count it up every week, and they're not related, and we have some safeguards, and they sign it, and we make photocopies and all these things because we do take seriously your giving. But the fact is, the only money I handle is the money that Mike hands me in the form of a check. So I said, oh, thank you, good. And then I go deposit it, and then I have food. So that's a great thing. But, you know, I'm not personally acquainted with your giving habits, but that doesn't mean I don't care or view it as important. I have plenty of other things to do, but giving is actually really important to me. And it's not, again, because we like to have a vehicle and gas, and we believe that paying the light bill is important. There really is because a Christian's giving is an important indication of their relationship with God and how important he is in their life. And my goal is to spur you towards love and good deeds and growth and godliness, and that includes your giving. And giving back to God what he's already given you is a part of that. We're going to wrap up Philippians today, and as we see, as we share, God supplies. Lord, I'm just going to ask you before we go any farther to guide my words, guard my thoughts. If there's things I shouldn't say, block them. And if there's things I need to remember to say, Lord, would you help me? I pray that each of us would be challenged or encouraged as we need. In your name I pray, amen. Well, we're going to go back a few verses in time. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 10 to 13 as a way of review quickly. And Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concerns for me. Indeed, you had been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That we covered a few weeks ago. Now we're going to take a look at today's passage from verses 14 through 23. And please follow along as I do. And he goes on to say, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I sent out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. It's a fascinating wrap-up to the book. Paul began talking about their partnership in the gospel. Later, he would talk about their partnership in suffering together. Now he talks about their partnership in finances. You know, we don't talk a ton about finances here at the church. We don't even pass the plate since COVID. But thank you for those of you who have faithfully given in the boxes, online, or however you do it. But you know, money is something the Bible talks a ton about. Due to the fact that I like to preach verse by verse through the Bible when topics like finances come up, well, it's the right thing to do to talk about them. And so I'm going through this passage not because you've been negligent or you need a scolding. Maybe some of you do. I don't know. But because that's what you find as you go through God's Word. You know, I know this church has been generous, but even more important, God knows. I do hope, though, you'll be encouraged and challenged, depending on what's needed. Well, Paul kicks off the last part of the book by talking about the partnership of sharing in verse 14. He says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles." Again, from the first day he had been with them, there were troubles in the church in Philippi. He ended up in jail. He ended up with struggles. And yet they had been partners with him through the sharing of the gospel, through suffering, and now supporting him. In fact, they had sent Epaphroditus, the 800-mile journey, to bring a care package, to bring some finances to him to meet his needs, because he was in a Roman jail, he was in house arrest, and if he didn't have any finances, he wouldn't eat, and he'd get thrown back into prison instead of house arrest, and he would have been eating whatever leftover swill the other guys didn't want. So they had sent generously Epaphroditus, a messenger. As we know, he got sick and almost died, but that's another story. But this church had gone through thick and thin with Paul. There was affliction together. There was affection. They cared each other. But this church was not just we love you. They actually showed it. Well, he's about to unpack some principles of sharing in verse 15. He says, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving." Paul often worked as a tent maker. That was his profession. He'd sew tents and make his living. But sometimes he received gifts from the church, and that allowed him to be a full-time pastor. I'm blessed through Village Missions and your giving. We can be full-time. It would be really hard to try to do all that I try to do if I still had another 20-hour job out there. So that's a blessing of being a Village missionary when people come alongside. But in Paul's case, he was aware that sometimes talking about money created issues. But, you know, he was no money grubber. He was not in for it for the money. I mean, think about it. This is a guy who was in and out of jail. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was shipwrecked. No amount of money would be worth what he went through just to try to get away without working. And so He worked hard. But, you know, at one point in the church in Corinth, they threw out all kinds of false accusations about why he was there. And so he basically said, "No, I don't want your money. I will look to God and others." But with the church in Philippi, there was this good give and take, the sharing of needs and interaction. They really worked together, and it was beautiful. And this church, the Philippian church, gave material to Paul, and Paul blessed him spiritually. Actually, God did so. You know, and take note that you cannot outgive God. I have given in the past, and it's amazing what he gives back. No church can out-generosity God. Try it and see. You just can't do it. The key thing also to remember is anything we give is because of God's given it to us already. But the thing is, the Philippians didn't just give once, they kept at it. In fact, in verse 16, it talks about the persistence of sharing. "For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need." You know, I've done some research and I look back, and in the late 1960s, our church sent a few bucks to Dave and Sharon Esau. Sharon is from this area, and they were preparing to go to Spain as missionaries. And that was a great thing we could do that one time back in the 60s. You know what's really cool? It's for the last 5.5 decades, we've been able to send them support. Every few months, we can send them a few $100, and that's really a blessing over and over and over. You know, twice a year for 50 years. That is really cool. And the great thing is we get to share in what God is doing there in Spain among the Spanish folks as well as the Muslim immigrants. We are blessed, and so are they. That's persistence, and that's the kind of idea of what was going on with the Philippians and Paul. But next, he talks about the profit of sharing in verse 17. He says, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. He wasn't just looking for the money in his bank account. He was looking ultimately in what would be put in their ledger when they got to heaven. God was going to bless him in this life. He would bless him in the future as well. It's very fascinating. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I hope that handout in your bulletin is helpful. It's got some good insights, but Paul is really saying that as well. You know, as you give, it is being logged by God on your behalf. Keep that in mind. That's even more important to Paul, that they realize that God knows and God is thinking about it. It's interesting. The ESV puts it this way, the fruit that increases to your credit. Fruit is, in a sense, in the business world at this time was interest. He goes, hey, I'm receiving a little interest, but you're putting your real principal in heaven and God's going to take care of you. That is really cool. As they shared, God is going to supply, as we're going to see. Then in verse 18, we have the provision of sharing. He says, I've received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. When he says, I've received full payment, he's got the receipt. Every dime they gave Epaphroditus to give to Paul, he brought and he gave to them. And it's fully accounted. And that's a good thing. And we account for our money here, and any organization you give to, and I hope you give to others as well, they should account for it as well, very carefully. And you should be able to look at the books. And anytime you want to look at our books, talk to myself, talk to Mike, and off you go. And you're welcome to come to board meetings and look through the notes. So we want to be open and use it well. But Epaphroditus was an honest guy. They gave him the money. And outside, of course, he had to eat and travel too. But the money designated to Paul got to Paul. But more important, Paul didn't just know that. God knew that as well. And this is great. And Paul writes in other places that the church had some poverty issues. Not all of them were rich. Yes, Lydia, she was a dealer in purple cloth. She was probably well-to-do, but a lot of the church, especially if it was maybe the slave girl who was healed of a demon in Philippi, they didn't have much to give, but Paul recognized that. And it was very similar to like the story Jesus told about the woman who gave her two copper coins at the temple treasury. She gave her everything and God noticed, and God's noticing what they're giving. Well, then Paul is about to shift metaphors and he talks about the pleasure of sharing in verse 18. He says, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Think about the Old Testament sacrifices. If you want your sin to be covered, you had to give the right things. And then there were other kinds of offerings, thanks offerings, praise offerings. And as you gave them with the right heart and motive and in the right way with the right kind of offering, God was pleased. Well, that's what Paul is saying you Philippians have done. You've brought your gifts, you've sacrificed on behalf of the Lord, and I've been a beneficiary to some degree. These are a fragrant offering to God's sight. They're pleasing to him. It brings God pleasure. Isn't that amazing? You give to God, it brings God pleasure. I love when we have vacation Bible school, 5-day clubs, and the kids raise money for the missionary project. And we try to be really clear, and they tell the kids, don't just go ask your mom and dad for some money. Go home and work for it. Well, they work for it, or they break out their piggy banks and they give. That gives God joy as much as when the millionaire cuts a check for whatever. But it brings God pleasure when we give back to him. And you know, when we do with a cheerful heart, he receives with a cheerful heart. Let me encourage you. Yes, we have bills here, and it is important to give, I believe, to your local church, but there's also missionaries, and there's other Christian organizations out there, and be giving to them as well. But when we share God's supplies, that's the promise of verse 19. There is a promise. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. This is not a blank check, though, that applies to everyone. Notice it says, my God. There is the understanding that you have a relationship with him, that you've trusted in him, that if you realize you yourself, you are spiritually bankrupt. You cannot earn your way to God. You cannot gain his favor by your good deeds. You're giving, you're nothing. You simply say, wow, Lord, before you, I need a savior. and you put your trust in Jesus. So this is a family promise. This is a promise for the children of God who look to him. And then it says all your needs. Again, it's not all your wants. It's not all your greeds. It's not all you can ask or imagine, because boy, we can all think of all kinds of crazy things. But when he says need, what's our needs? Well, God has already said, I will give you everything you need for life and godliness. He says, I've already given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. He knows our needs, though. And so if we don't have something, it may be because we don't need it. You ever been to a store and they have a sign in there, if we don't have it, you don't need it? Well, if we don't have it, it may be because God doesn't want us to have it right then. And he may have something else in store. I read somewhere that in 1900, the average American wanted 72 things, 18 of which they regarded as necessary. By 1950, the wants list had grown to 496, with 96 regarded as absolute necessities. Think about that. That's before microwaves and computers and cell phones and iPads and internet. Can you imagine what the list is now? Wow. You know, occasionally in my family, we go to the mall. I don't go just to go. I go because I'm on a mission. You know what I mean? It's get in, get to the store, get it, get out. But one great thing I like is as we are walking to the place I need to go, I'm aware of all the stuff I don't want. I don't need a new ball cap, a bonsai tree, a bath towel, or a Build-A-Bear. There's a lot of things I can do without. As a whole, I'm pretty content. Yes, I do have some areas where I'm like struggling and God is dealing with me and some covetousness. But as a whole, I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord, for my cars, my clothes, my kids. My new clothes washer, you know, that's a blessing. I'm thankful. But, you know, God will meet our needs, but we have to sometimes leave the interpretation of what is a need up to him. But this verse is not saying that God's people won't ever have needs. Not at all. You know, sometimes God does meet them. It might be the car, the cash, the computer. It might be that he says, tell you what, I'm going to give you the strength to go through this. There's a situation, there's a struggle, there's a temptation, there's a trying time, but you need to lean on me. And so maybe he will lean and those other physical material things may not come your way because he's got a bigger picture in store. Keep in mind, in verse 13, Paul had said, I have hunger, I have thirst, but I've learned to rely on God. Philippians is a book full of joy, even though it's written by a guy in prison. You know, he was given joy. He realized that God, Jesus, was the source of joy. It's interesting because King David at one point in the Psalms said to the Lord, with your help, I could advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Well, I don't know about you, but I prefer not to have the wall there. I prefer not to have to charge my way through the people. But sometimes God says, that's what you need. You have some obstacles that through me, you're going to need to face. And David had to crash through them as well. You know, think about when God allowed David to face Goliath. It would have been nice, perhaps, for David had he prayed and the earth swallowed up Goliath, or maybe God zapped him up with a lightning bolt. That would have been cool. But no, David actually had to go out on the field of battle, face him, throw that rock. But that was just as much a miracle to give him the strength to face it. And maybe God is not meeting your need that you see as a need right now because he has something else in store. But how does he supply? According to his riches in glory in Christ. All God's riches come through Jesus. Notice it's according to, not out of. Henry Ford was a wealthy man. I looked at things up and I think with inflation, he was worth like $200 billion or something crazy, at least in the one source I went to. There was an article that said at one point he had like $11 million. He didn't know where it was. He kept $1 million around the house just in case he had something going on and needed to buy something small, I guess. Well, suppose I went to him and I said, Henry Ford, and I explained this great cause that I really think he should donate to. He said, sure, that'd be great. He writes out a check and I get it and it says $10. It's like, what? Well, that would be giving out of his wealth. But I said, Mr. Ford, come on, would you kindly take back this check and give according to your riches? He goes, well, okay, how about $198 billion instead? You know, he wasn't that kind of guy, I don't think. But that God can do that. According to his riches, you cannot outgive him. When we share what he's already shared with us, he will supply. Again, God doesn't always answer our needs the way we think. And therefore, we may have to trust him a little longer, but he will take care of us. Jesus said, give and it'll be given to you. Give a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, would be put into your lap. For with the measure you give, the measure you receive. Again, this is not send $100, I guarantee you get $1,000 back. No. That's not how our God operates. That is not how we do things here as well. But there is a principle that we give to God what he's already given to us, and we trust him with what he will do. You know, Paul, in a sense, you could say, this is how I could summarize part of what he's saying. He's saying, Philippian church, you've met my need. God's going to meet your need. You met the one need I have. God will meet all your needs. You gave out of your poverty. God will supply out of his riches. God provides for his children who look to him. I read a true story this week about a young couple who were very involved in their church ministry. They gave of their time, they gave of their talents, and they really invested heavily in these youth, but they didn't have much money. They had a very small salary, and one particular night they realized they had 13 cents in the bank, and they weren't going to get paid till the next day, but they were out of a lot of supplies, and they realized, including toilet paper. After a period of frustration, they prayed to God. They said, okay, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And so they literally said, Lord, we need some TP. They prayed. Well, guess what happened that evening? A bunch of kids from the youth group came and toilet papered their house. Except they were not experienced at it. And so they didn't have to climb the trees and roll it all back up. You know, and I remember toilet paper in my youth leader's house. So they did one roll and then they just left the rest of the packages, you know, the 3 out of 4 packs, rang the doorbell and ran off. They go outside and they went, God, you provided. That was amazing. The thing is, you know, God cares about our needs. Even those kind of needs. Aren't you glad? If you need a job, wisdom, bread, baby formula, something for your backside, he can provide. And be content and look to him. Share what you have. Paul's now wrapping up and he's just got a couple other things to say. Remember, he's in prison. He's in under house arrest and facing execution, but he's full of joy. And he ends with a praise to God. He says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why is God worthy of our praise? Because he is in control. Because he is good. Because he is generous. Because he is sovereign. Because he is also our Father. And our Father knows our needs and our Father delights to take care of us. He will watch out for us. You know, as we share, God supplies. And if you haven't shared, I encourage you to take a look in Malachi 3. God is talking to the people of Israel who have not been giving to him. And he says, test me and see. If you give as I've told you to do so, I will take care of you. I will open the heavens. Give it a whirl. You know, think about the little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, if I give this, what am I going to get? Well, what happened is 4,000, 5,000 people, men plus children were fed. I bet those loaves, those fish weren't that big. But that kid had never had a better meal in his whole life. Can you imagine bread baked by Jesus himself? Massive, so many loaves left over. God took care of that kid. You know, that's kind of like our woodshed. We'll have someone say, hey, I really need some wood. Okay, here, take some. Next thing I know, somebody's driven up unannounced and dumped 2 more cords in our driveway. Every time I give a cord, God gives more back. As we share, he provides. So we've looked at the partnership of sharing, principles of sharing, persistence of sharing, profit of sharing, provision of sharing, pleasure to God for sharing, promise of sharing, praise to God. And then he ends with a postscript. He says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. That's probably Timothy and some of the others, Christians in Rome. He says, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Isn't that amazing? Caesar, who was opposed to the things of God, had people in his own house, his own guard, his own army, his own officials who were coming to Jesus. And guess what has outlasted the so-called Almighty Roman Empire? The Church of God. Yes, life's a struggle. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, we have needs. But our God is more than able to meet them. And then the book began in verses chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. And it ends with grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We are saved by grace. We are provided by His grace. By His grace, what He started in us, He will finish. By grace, we're made citizens of heaven. By grace, we have a Father who cares for us and loves us. By grace, He supplies our needs. It's all by His unmerited favor. And we as God's people should say, wow, Lord, the grace, Your grace is with us. Amen. Thank You. Lord God, we want to thank You for all You've done. For the joy You can give us despite circumstances, the fact that the work You began in us, You're not done with. And You're not done with the other guy either, so help us to give them grace. And Lord, You will provide for our needs. We thank You, Lord, our citizenship is in You, where everything is going to be right and nothing is goofy. We thank You, Lord, that You are our God. Let us rejoice. I pray that each of us would take something, encouragement, challenge, whatever it might be. You are the God who supplies. Help us, O Lord, to lean in You. In Your name I pray, amen.